The journey has led us here. This is the journey that began not long after the beginning. Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, where God walked with his children and where one evening God couldn't find them. He called out to the man and the woman, "Where are you?" And the man timidly replied, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." The story continued in Exodus. The Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt. They had been oppressed. They had been broken. And God heard their cries. So he sent Moses to save them. And Moses led the Israelites to freedom and a new life. And then it happened again. The second verse, the same as the first. The fear crept in. We are told, in great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Give us the slavery we know rather than the freedom we don't." Over and over, down through history, the story is the same. Jump ahead 1,400 years, the disciples in another garden, Gethsemane. Peter, not long before, in response to Jesus' talk of his death and of the impending trials they would face, Peter had said to Jesus, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." But when the crowds came with swords and clubs to arrest Jesus, all the disciples, including Peter, deserted Jesus and fled. The fearfulness, the hiding, the grumbling, the resistance, the running away, the betrayals, they have led us here. This is the story of God's relationship with his people. A story that is not only about God's relationship with our forebears, but the story of God's relationship with us. We just can't seem to trust it. We just can't seem to rest in the relationship. We seem to have so much trouble rejoicing in God's relationship with us. Our brokenness and the brokenness of the world gets the better of us instead of God getting the best of us. Time and time again, we say no to this relationship. It can't be. We just can't seem to believe it. We are skeptical. We are resistant. We are fearful because surely God sees us the way we see us. Why do we spend so much time striving? Why do we spend so much energy competing with one another? Why do we work so hard, hanging on so tight, grasping for control? It's because we are trying to convince ourselves that we have it all together. It's not because we think we are the best. It's because we fear we are not. We fear we are not. Actually, we know we're not, don't we? We know the truth. We know all the ways we have failed. We know all the ways we struggle. We know all the ways we are broken. We are a mess. The list of unfulfilled hopes and dreams because we were afraid to step into them. The list of mistakes and missteps, things we've done and things we've left undone. The list of relationships we didn't tend like we could have, including this one, the relationship God has with us. Because if we know the truth of who we are, surely God does too. And maybe we figure if God knows the truth, well, he's not going to be mindful of us. Why would he even want a relationship with us? Here's why. Yes, God does know the truth of who you are. He knows all of it. Which means he also knows something you don't know. He knows it's not the whole truth. God knows that your struggles, your fear, your doubt, your resistance, all the ways the darkness creeps in, all the ways you are broken. While we undeniably experience these things, they are not the truth of who you are. They are not how your story ends. Because the tomb is empty. Here is the promise of Easter. Here is the reality that baptism immerses us in. The age-old story, the story of failure and fear, the story that has haunted our days and for so many of us has defined our old selves. That story, and we along with it, have been put to death. We have been buried, plunged deep with Christ in his death. And with Christ's resurrection, a new story is being written. It is the story God has been writing for you all along. It is the story in which resurrection life wins. And it is the story in which resurrection life wins, not someday, but today. Because Christ is risen, so are you.